welcome to Comic Talk Today for Wednesday, October 3rd, 2018. And I've got some stuff I want to talk about, and it relates to fixing the DC Extended Movie Universe. And maybe you're like me, and you're thinking to yourself, Martin, it doesn't need to be fixed. It's perfect as it is. And kind of, you're right. I agree. I think that the movies that we've received so far have actually been quite good, even if they've been, for some reason, hated on so much by quite a few people. But I want to kind of work through a couple thoughts that I had in my brain the other day. You know, I never write anything down for any of these podcasts, in particular when I do the rant episodes, and this will be an episode of the rant on how we can fix the DC movie universe. But I thought about this the other day. I was thinking about, it actually came about in terms of comics, because I was reading some, trying to catch up on some comics. In particular, I started thinking about some of the stuff when I was reading Heroes in Crisis number one. It's Tom King Clayman. Beautiful book, by the way. The art is gorgeous. I mean, I don't know what Clayman has done, but he's leveling up, man. Props to you, Clayman. And then, of course, Doomsday Clock number 7, which has been very delayed. And I'm probably talking about this book a little bit, and people are going to be thinking to themselves, I don't even know what he's talking about, because I quit reading the book, you know, 6 months ago in issue number 5. And I say that as a joke, because, of course, the book's delayed all the time for some reason. But it had me thinking about this stuff. And every once in a while, there's like a convergence of things that gets me thinking about what's going on with the DC, well, comics, but the DC movies. And let me to this thought. So I really enjoyed Justice League quite a bit. Quite a bit. I saw it in theaters 5 times. That's not a joke, folks. 5 times I saw it in theaters, and I loved it. I thought Justice League was a fantastic film. It had great action, great acting. There were some funny moments in there. It was really nice, a nice change of pace from, like, Man of Steel and the Batman versus Superman, the No Justice, whatever that was called, which I loved as well. I saw that movie way too many times to admit. And I will say, I think the director's cut of the Batman Superman film is quite a bit better than the theatrical release. I think there's something about the little extra bits that are thrown in there. And it often makes me wonder why some of those things get cut from the final release. In particular, when those things that get cut actually make the movie make more sense. You know what I mean? It's something that's beyond me. I mean, I'm not a comic book editor. I'm not a film editor. I'm just some dummy behind a desk doing podcasts and talking BS out of my brain, you know, quite a few times a week. But I was thinking about that, and I really loved it. And I wondered why some of those scenes that were added in the extended cut, it's not the director's cut, the extended cut is, or was it the ultimate cut? Whatever it's called. The release that came in afterwards. Why some of that stuff was cut out of the film? Because I think it really added quite a bit to the pacing of the movie, right? And that's kind of what's important when you're watching a film is pacing. When you're reading a comic, the comic book reading experience, I think, is a little bit different than some of the other forms of media that I like to consume. And I think it extends actually more to written formats. So I think with books, it works a little bit the same way. You know, comics have the added benefit that it's words combined with art. So there's some direction, well, there's a lot of direction that the writers and the artists give you on how you should be reading a book. When you're reading like a novel, for example, I think that's a little more abstract in some way, right? There's something about the written word. And maybe I'm just saying this because I'm an English nerd, right? I'm a language nerd. I love languages. I love learning languages. I love learning about languages, how languages evolve, things like that. But there's something about when a particular entertainment medium is at least partially, but you know, a good chunk of it is in written format. It kind of allows you as the person experiencing this piece of work to kind of enjoy it at your own pace. Whereas I think when we watch like movies and TV, that's not always necessarily the case. I mean, there's definitely some of that, right? I mean, you could pause it, I guess, if you're watching on TV or whatever, a DVD or you're streaming somewhere. But I'm talking about like the actual experience of watching the movie, right? If you were just to watch something from beginning to end, the experience is a lot more controlled than it is in a comic book or a novel or a magazine article or whatever, right? Obviously, the writer of the story is trying to tell you a certain story, and so you're being taken through the paces as the story develops, right? So you need some kind of setup, You need character development. You need some kind of conflict. You need conflict resolution. That's true of all forms of media. But I think with comics, you're able to take your time with it, right? Because you can stop and read the panel again. You can look at the art. You can see kind of how the panel is formed. You can see not just one piece of the puzzle, okay, one panel, but you can see the entire page all at one time. And that's important in the way that people, I think, consume comic books. And I thought about that a lot recently when I was thinking about why is it that people don't read as many comics as they used to, I don't know, even 15, 20 years ago. And I wonder if that's part of the reason is we've kind of become so consumed with the instant gratification, right? That comics don't necessarily lend themselves to that. Like, sure, it's a 22-page comic, and so you can, you know, I mean, how long does it take to read a comic? 5 minutes? 6 minutes? 10 minutes tops? I mean, I would say the amount of comics that take 10 minutes plus to read right now are probably a handful. You can probably count them in, we'll just say two hands. Because, I mean, there are hundreds of comics that come out every month, so we'll just say in two hands. So, I mean, what's that? Less than 5% of comics? And so the instant gratification isn't quite there, I don't think, right? Because I think even if you're the person that likes to read just comics to enjoy the story, to escape from your reality, I think even then you're still very much aware of what it is that you're reading, even if it's subconscious. Whereas in a movie, you don't have that, right? You're kind of being given all the pieces, but one piece at a time. And you can't look at the overall puzzle until the end of a film or the end of a TV show. Okay. Whereas within comics, you can pretty much do that within every single act of the comic. And I think that's what makes comics a really interesting entertainment format. It's something that we've kind of lost, kind of forgotten, right? The instant gratification. We just want to see the cool thing. We want to see the thing blow up. And I think it's pretty easy to see that DC, when they decided to start making these movies, to make the extended movie universe, were kind of in a tough place, right? Because Marvel had already been doing movies for quite a while. I mean, it would have been, what, 7 years, I guess? I mean, before filming, maybe less. But, you know, 6, 7 years, 8 years of Marvel films before DC really started kicking off. And the thing is, DC tried to imitate the format of what Marvel was doing a little bit. And it didn't quite work out, right? Because DC's characters seemed to be a little bit darker. And so the movies led to a darker vision. That could be maybe because of Zack Snyder. I know he gets a lot of flack for the stuff that he did with the DC movies. I happen to love him. I really like Zack Snyder as a director. I think he does fantastic work. And I think those films are really great. And some people kind of don't want to give those opinions for some reason. I remember several months ago when I rewatched Man of Steel. This may have been, I don't know, 6 months ago now. Actually, you know what? Maybe less, because this podcast was already out. So I think this podcast has been around for about 6 months or so. But it was pretty early on. I had rewatched Man of Steel, and I talked about how much I love the film. And I was putting it on Twitter. I was like, you know what? This movie's fantastic. I love everything about it. The story's great. Cinematography's great. And I had a lot of comments on that tweet, and I was very surprised, because I didn't hear a whole many people talking about Man of Steel. And I was very surprised. And I think those people were surprised at how much I loved it. And I received a lot of comments saying, well, crap, I never say anything because I would thought I was the only person that enjoyed it. And it's kind of a problem that DC has, right? That's kind of a setup into what I want to go into. Because the problem that DC has is because people are kind of trained on the way that Marvel has been doing superhero films, they kind of expect all superhero films to be that way. And that's not necessarily fair to the creators, to the writers, to the actors, to anybody. Because it's not the same thing, right? Even within the comics aren't the same. At least for me, and I've been reading comics for a long time, it's pretty obvious to me when I'm reading a DC book over a Marvel book. Now granted, I could be just totally jaded because I know these characters, right? I'm very entrenched in this whole thing. I know who writes for who, for the most part. But there's something about the writing style, about sometimes the art style, that kind of delineates which is Marvel and DC for me. I can instantly tell. I can pick up a book that I've never read, and I can't think of one right now because I've read a lot from both of the publishers, and immediately know this is a Marvel book. This is a DC book. And oftentimes, like, you kind of have no choice but to tell what it is, right? Because oftentimes, in particular with, like, smaller books, you might see a big star of that company show up, right? So if I'm reading, I don't know, let's say I was reading this is really hard because I've read so many comics. All right. If I was reading like a Duke Thomas book, right? And I've never read anything with Duke Thomas. I didn't know he was part of the Bat family. I would immediately know that this is a DC book, partially because, well, Batman would show up in the book, right? Or Batgirl would show up in the book, or Orphan, or somebody in the Bat family. And so I would know. But it goes a little bit beyond that. I think even a new reader would be able to tell. And again, I could be jaded, so if I'm wrong, let me know. But I think even a new reader would be able to tell what they're reading. So it's not really fair for us to judge these Marvel movies, these DC movies. And we can't say like, oh, well, the DC movies aren't good because they don't do this. Or, oh, wait, like, it's not that good because they're doing what such and such Marvel movie did in this film, right? That's not really fair. So I think immediately DC was at a disadvantage in bringing their DC cinematic universe, their extended universe, out. Because people already had certain expectations. And I think it's part of the reason why Wonder Woman did so well. And I think there's many other reasons as well, but why it did so well as compared to, say, Batman versus Superman, because it was a lot more lighthearted. It was a lot more colorful. But in terms of the overall structure of the film, the structure itself is actually not very different between Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman and Wonder Woman. And even Justice League to some extent. The difference with Justice League is there was a second director brought in, and so there were certain things that were added afterwards, and you can kind of tell the things that were added, right? If you pay close attention to those kind of things, you can very easily tell. And now Wonder Woman is a big hit, and so the assumption, at least for me, is that future DC films will be kind of more in that direction, right? Because that's kind of what people want. And it seems like that may be the case, and it may work out, right? So Aquaman is coming out pretty soon in December. And from the stuff that I've seen, it looks very interesting, but it does seem a little bit more lighthearted. Obviously, if you saw the Shazam film, that looks extremely lighthearted. There's a ton of comedy, but it's not necessarily because that is what will do better with the characters in the movies. It's because that's kind of what appeals better to that particular character. I mean, can you imagine just a completely dark Shazam story? I don't think it would work as well, because you got to remember, Captain Marvel is a kid. He's a kid. And of course, his whole cast of characters now, with the additional stuff that Geoff Johns brought in, and I can't wait to read that new book, by the way. All the casting, the supporting cast are also kids. So of course you want to have something a little more lighthearted. Somebody like Wonder Woman, yes, of course she fights gods, she is steeped in Greek mythology, but when she comes into the world of humanity, she has to see the world in new eyes, with fresh eyes, with eyes of wonderment, I would assume. I mean, maybe it's not wondrous to, you know, go into a city like London or New York City or whatever, right? In particular, when these stories would begin to take place in the 30s or 40s, because those places would be much darker and dirtier and dingier than I would say they are now. And I've never been to London, but New York has changed quite a bit. And of course, it makes sense for Shazam, Captain Marvel, to be that same way. I think what is going to make those movies successful is not necessarily that they're more lighthearted, but that the lightheartedness is a different aspect of how this movie should be made. And because it makes the character shine more, then the movie becomes better. Now, the movie's not out yet. It could be total trash. I don't know yet, right? It could be. But it doesn't seem like it will be. Based on the trailer, it looks really quite good. And it does look like it follows some of the Geoff Johns stuff that he wrote. And of course, Geoff Johns wasn't involved in the film, so it makes perfect sense, right? And that's not to say that you couldn't do a dark Captain Marvel movie. You can. You totally can. In fact, one of the stories I read, so I did a Secret Origins Captain Marvel / Shazam, I don't know, a couple months ago. I had a lot of fun doing it because those books were fantastic. And one thing that was really interesting to me was how the origin was tweaked over the years. And I do remember one of the stories, I can't remember which book it was, but I think it was one of the ones set in the 80s. It was quite a bit darker and a lot creepier, but it worked. But of course, now what we're used to is kind of more the slightly more lighthearted Geoff Johns stuff. And remember, Captain Marvel has been in, for example, the Justice League animated movies. And so the expectation from some of the people watching that is to see that version of Captain Marvel. And I think that's totally fair. I think of a movie like Aquaman, which of course is not out yet, and I can't judge it because I haven't seen it. But based on the trailer and on the information that I've seen in the movie, based on Jason Momoa's portrayal of Aquaman in the Justice League movie, I find that take really interesting. Because usually what I enjoy about Aquaman is the much darker version. I love the hook hand Aquaman. He's one of my favorites. And you know, now we're about to get a kind of a soft reboot of the character with Kelly Sue DeConnick taking over the book. And I'm looking forward to that, see how it becomes different than the run that we've had so far, which, by the way, is fantastic. I hated the first issue of Aquaman Rebirth, but since issue 2, it's just been top-notch. And Mira is a fantastic character in that series. I'm super happy. If you haven't read the Mira miniseries, it is well worth it and a great companion piece to the Aquaman series that was being written by, who was it? Abnett, I believe. Fantastic stuff. But so I think about the movie, and the thing is, some of the choices that you make when you're making a film should, of course, impact the story directly as well. And I think the fact that we have Jason Momoa as the lead of the movie, as Aquaman, lends itself to something that's a little different, a little more lighthearted. Because I got to tell you, that dude is a fun dude. If you ever see his stuff on like social media, he's having a ball all the damn time. His favorite pastimes are like drinking beer and throwing axes at things. He's like an expert axe thrower or something. Like, he loves doing that kind of crap. And he seems like a totally fun dude. Like, if you see him at con panels or whatever, fantastic guy. Great sense of humor. And sure, he's an actor, right? So he can act in whatever way he wants. But what makes most sense, I think, is for him to be a little more like himself. And I think when you have an actor, a creator, a writer, and director, whatever, anybody involved in a project who is really having fun doing that project, that really shows in what you're seeing and what you're reading and what you're watching. It really shows. Now, of course, I've been watching and listening to all the news tidbits that come out about all the upcoming DC movies, right? So the Suicide Squad is kind of on hold for right now because there's other projects going on. But we've got like Birds of Prey that's going to start filming pretty soon, I would assume. They just cast a couple new people, right? Huntress and Black Canary were cast. You know, Harley Quinn's in there. That's going to be a very different Birds of Prey than what we see in the comics. And I think that's fine. And I think the key to DC movies being successful is not necessarily to try to follow in the footsteps of what Marvel has done in creating a universe. Because Marvel has done a fantastic job at that, right? And it's all been a progression from Iron Man, the first film, until now. There's been buildup of characters, introduction of new characters. Those characters get their own films. Then you have the Avengers films that kind of tie in arcs in all the phases of the movies. And that's what DC has been kind of trying to do. But all that's going to change, right? It has to change because it hasn't worked out for them. And DC's made a ton of changes at their corporate level in terms of who's working on the film stuff, who's working on the comic stuff. They're readjusting to try to make that sense into that. And I look at the movies that they're kind of working on right now. Now that Cavill's not going to be Superman, and I guess that's been finalized. I don't know. I've heard so much back and forth about whether that's the case or not, but I think it seems like that's going to be the case. He's not going to be Superman anymore. It seems like Affleck's not going to be Batman anymore. And I mean, those are two fantastic actors, two very famous actors. But you don't always need that kind of, we'll just say moxie because I like the word, that kind of power, right? Those names behind your movies. Sometimes that may be counterproductive to making the movie great. And so DC's kind of pivoted a little bit, and instead of focusing on Superman, it looks like they're going to start focusing a little bit more on Supergirl. And then, of course, there's a Batgirl movie, and maybe a Flash movie, maybe a Cyborg movie. There's been talks forever about a Deathstroke movie. Been talks forever about a Black Adam movie. It seems like they do want to relaunch the Green Lantern franchise with the Green Lantern Corps movie. I've heard talk of a Booster Gold movie. I don't know if that's going to happen. That seems a little odd to me. But like New Gods was talked about recently. Yeah, that would be fantastic. Fantastic. And so what that tells me about this is, well, maybe the way forward is not to do an extended universe, but to do individual pieces of film that tie into the comic book universe. And I started having this thought first when the Joker movie, the Joaquin Phoenix movie was announced. And I hate to keep talking about this movie, but the more I think about it, the more I become interested in it. And I know there's a lot of hate out there for this Joaquin Phoenix thing, but I talked about it on the last episode. I think this movie is going to really surprise a lot of people. Not just in the way that the movie direction goes, but also in what a DC movie can be. Because remember, DC has had movies for a very long time. I mean, think about all the Batman films we've got. Some of them not so great, right? Batman and Robin. We don't talk about that one. But some of them are fantastic. Like The Dark Knight. I love The Dark Knight. That's my favorite one. I know a lot of people really love the Batman 89. My wife loves that one as well. That's one of her favorite movies, which is crazy because she hates Batman and hates comics. She doesn't hate Batman. I think her aversion to Batman may be my obsession with Batman. But those movies did really great. All of them. All of them did really great. Even Batman and Robin. And the reason for that is they didn't need to set up a movie universe. They just made great movies. And that's kind of the difference. You just want to make great movies. What's that old saying? If you build it, they will come, right? I remember there was a Married with Children parody on that. That was fantastic. Anyways, if you build it, they will come. And it's kind of a hokey saying, but it does kind of make sense in some way. But of course, you got to build it right. And you got to build it to make sense. And you got to build it to have foundation for people to be interested in other films, even if those films aren't related, because they don't need to be related. They don't. There are countless sequels that make no sense whatsoever. They should never have been made. Predator, I'm looking at you. But you know what? They were made. And some of them are successful and some of them aren't. By the way, I haven't seen the new Predator movie, so I don't know. I've heard it's garbage. I've heard it's fantastic. I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm a Predator purist. I've read quite a few of the comic books, the Dark Horse books, and I love them. I think they're fantastic. Of course, the first Predator film with Schwarzenegger is by far, in my opinion, the best. The second best, I would say, is Predators. The one with, I can't remember the guy's name, the pianist guy. I thought that was actually really quite good. And Topher Grace, he's in that. He's a bad guy. Spoiler alert if you haven't watched a 10-year-old movie, 15-year-old movie. I don't know how long that movie is. It's old. But you don't need to make movies just to make movies. Make movies to make sense. Make movies to get me excited to go see them. I mean, everything that's been announced, I'm excited to go see. I want to see it. But of course, I'm jaded because I'm a DC fan. I love DC. I love DC Comics. DC Comics was not the first batch of comics that I read. In fact, that was Marvel because I started my comic book reading career with Avengers and Captain America. But Batman was my first DC book, and I've been in love ever since. I think there's something different about the way DC does their characters. DC characters seem to me to be more iconic. And of course, if you're a Marvel zombie, you will disagree, and that's fine. If you enjoy the Marvel stuff better, that's cool. Good on you. I enjoy the DC stuff more. I think the DC stuff is fantastic. It just feels more epic, right? It feels more like modern mythology to me than the Marvel characters do. You know, Stan Lee always said, Marvel is the world outside your window, and maybe that's the case, right? Maybe that's why they don't seem as epic and mythological and godlike to me. I mean, think about a character like Batman. I hate to keep bringing Batman up, but, you know, you guys know I love Batman. Batman has no superpowers, and yet he can go up against Darkseid and kick his ass. I mean, come on. Only at DC could you do that and make it make sense. So why not bring that excitement into the films? You can do dark movies. You can do lighthearted movies. But you don't need to play it where everything has to be interconnected. That's not the way it works in film. You can do individual bits in film. And what's really interesting is they've already kind of done this. If you're a fan of the animated DC movies, this is what that is. Now granted, some of the animated DC movies do have some kind of continuity. And I do believe that there is a sort of a DC animated universe, right? Just like we have the CW Arrowverse, right? Where those are the TV DC universe. You can kind of say that, right? They do take place in the same world. They do follow some kind of continuity. But all the stories are kind of individual. They're not interconnected with each other. They don't need to be. It's not a TV show, right? We don't need to write 10 movies to culminate in something great and ultimate, whatever that is, right? The appearance of Darkseid. I saw a thing the other day about Snyder. If Snyder had continued working on these films, apparently there's some stuff that referenced Darkseid in Justice League that didn't make the film because the sequel to the film would have had Darkseid as the main villain. And God, I would have loved to see that. I would have loved to see that. And I probably never will now. Unless somebody at some point decides to make another Justice League film with Darkseid. Maybe we'll see him in the New Gods film. Well, surely we have to see him in the New Gods film. But that's the formula, right? The formula is just to tell great individual stories. That's how you fix a DC extended universe. Don't worry about setting up one thing into the other. Don't worry about crossing characters over. Don't worry about doing form films that culminate in an event film. It's worked great for Marvel. I'll give you that. Marvel does fantastic movies. I love them. But if it's not working for you, then why continue doing it? And I think that's something that DC has finally kind of realized. And judging the schedule and what supposedly will be coming out of the next few years, it seems to be like maybe that's the way to go. That's the way that they're going to be doing it. And you can do things that are outside of the continuity because DC has always had a history with great out-of-continuity stories. If you've been following me on podcasts for a while, you know one of my favorite things ever is the Elseworlds line. And I'm extremely sad that DC does not want to do Elseworlds anymore. Well, they kind of do, right? So the Black Label line, hashtag Batman penis. I had to throw that in there. Sorry. I apologize. I have to throw the Batman penis in. But that's what Black Label is supposed to kind of be, right? It's supposed to be an out-of-continuity thing where writers can tell whatever story they want to without worrying about continuity or events that happened before. They just take whatever bits and pieces of a character's history they want and expand upon that story or tell a new story based on it. And that's what makes it great. It's kind of an Elseworlds story, but also kind of not, right? There was something about the Elseworlds books that you can tell they were Elseworlds because a lot of the times they were kind of like alternate history, right? You think about like Superman Red Sun. God, I love Superman Red Sun. It is one of the best DC books of all time for me. I think of books like Gotham by Gaslight, which of course was made into a film that it was good, but I don't think it wasn't as good as the comic for me, but it was quite good. Think about that. There's so many. There's the one about Batman and the Spanish Inquisition. God, I love that one too. I wish I remember the name of it. So the Elseworlds stories are very different, right? It's even different than the Marvel What Ifs. Because the What If is more like, well, if you change this one thing, what happens afterwards? Whereas Elseworlds, you're building an entire world in it. And you can definitely do this kind of thing. Because a lot of the DC characters are kind of, I don't want to say tropes. Tropes is probably the wrong term, but we'll go with that. They're like the primal characteristics of each character can lend these characters to tell different stories. There's something that I briefly talked about, I think last week or 2 weeks ago on an episode of Nerd Legion, that I do with Nick Wetmore. You can check that out, of course, nerdlegion.com/podcast/nerdylegion. And we talked about Wonder Woman a little bit, and that's one thing that I never understood about Wonder Woman, because throughout the character's history, ultimately, the story boils down to kind of the same thing, right? And I think now the stuff that like Steve Orlando is doing on there, I think is fantastic, because even though it pays homage to that story, right, that history, I think Orlando's telling some really interesting stories there. It's very different. It's a little bit darker, but it's great. And why not tell those kind of things when we go see a film? Why is it that when we go see a Batman movie, we always need an origin story or of him or a villain? We don't need that. Do you think people don't know who Batman is by now, right? It's like the Spider-Man thing. Do you need a Spider-Man origin story? Not really. I mean, Homecoming was, again, I haven't seen Homecoming, but it's kind of an origin story, but not really, right? I mean, people have seen, how many, 5, 6 Spider-Man movies by now? People know who Spider-Man is. People know who Superman is, right? They might not know the specifics of each character, but they know Superman, he came from Krypton, crashed landed on Earth, raised by humans. Now he's got superpowers, for some reason. They may not know the sun thing, but they know Superman, Krypton, Lex Luthor, probably Kryptonite. Because remember, the Superman films from the 70s and early 80s, they're still, I think, very much in the mind's eye for some people. Maybe not for young audiences, you know? Unless they're subscribed to DC Universe and they watched it on there for whatever reason. But at least the older folks, us, older folks, you know, people grew up reading these comics. We kind of know these stories, right? And even if you don't read comics anymore, you're still kind of aware of what the story is. And I think that's how you fix the DC Universe. Don't worry about telling all these overarching stories. Just tell one great story in a movie. And if it does great and you want to do a sequel, that's fine. But you don't plan for the sequel. You plan for telling the next great story. And I think that's what's going to set DC apart. And I hope they understand that, and I think they do. But they've got it in their animated world. So why not bring it in to big theater experiences? Anyways, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Comic Talk Today. Thank you for listening. I still haven't done Top of the Pile this week, but I will, I promise. It probably won't be till Friday. I haven't finished reading my pile. I've been trying to catch up on like 3 weeks of comics because apparently I really fell far behind. So maybe by Friday or Saturday, I'll do a Top of the Pile. There will be an episode, I think tomorrow, I'm going to do a little NYCC rundown because of course that is this weekend. If you are going, stay safe. I know I have a couple buddies going there and, I think that's it. I'll be back on the next episode. If you want to get in touch with me, Twitter is always the best place at Geekvine. Of course, the network is at Nerdy Legion. Check out all the other great podcasts. There's a bunch. There's actually more coming. I was talking to somebody tonight, and I listened to the first episode. I'm going to listen to the second episode tomorrow. It is hilarious, and it's indirectly comic-related. So when it gets closer to publishing that, I will announce it, but it'll probably be within the next week or two. And it is by a comic book creator, so that's pretty exciting as well. And he's got quite a few ideas, so you may be seeing a few more podcasts showing up on the network. That is going to wrap it up for this episode, though. Thank you all for listening, and I'll catch you on the next one.